In this podcast, we're going to be taking a closer look at the U.S. 2019 federal budget and some of its flaws, as well as exploring the option of cutting the military budget in half and redistributing that fraction into other sectors that could more positively impact American society, as well as those citizens who are less fortunate. For those of you who don't know what a federal budget is, the simplified definition is basically the federal budget is a fraction of a nation's annual income that is then given to the government for them to decide how to distribute into different sectors of society. So some of these include Social Security, health insurance, education, military, and many more. So then the budget is distributed into these sectors, and normally a pie chart is created, and it is shown as the federal budget. For this year's nuclear budget, the U.S. has spent 61% of the budget on the military, meaning that the military gets a total of $727 billion, and have made enough nuclear bombs that they could blow up the whole North American territory and still have over 1,000 bombs to spare. A very hotly debated argument is where the billions invested in the military are being properly used, or if they could be put to a more effective use on the national scale. Some would argue that the military is a great cause for $727 billion and that it is completely necessary. On the other hand, according to the ICANW, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, and winner of the 2017 Nobel Peace Prize, the United States currently has an estimated 6,850 nuclear warheads. Some of those bombs so powerful, if they had 9,000, they could scorch every square mile of the moon. The U.S. could liquidate Washington, D.C. with one single bomb of this tier. This shows exactly how large and dangerous the initiation of a nuclear war would be for the world population. Nevertheless, the U.S. funded their military with over $720 billion. Why is that? The foremost reason that the United States poured 61% of its budget into the military this year is that if they diminish that amount, the nation could feel threatened by other military superpowers, such as Russia, China, and North Korea, who all have formidable military forces. Russia has also tested the most powerful bomb humankind has ever seen, the Tsar Bomba, almost doubling the damage American warheads can deal. So it's unsurprising for a nation to feel at risk in a situation like the U.S. is in right now. However, the United States could completely pull out of this nuclear buildup, sign a bold, specific, and official peace treaty, and eradicate all of their warheads. Lately, there have been several unsuccessful attempts to dismantle nuclear weapons in between Russia and the U.S. Yet, if these attempts are successful, that would only mean trillions of dollars that go to waste, but also time. Thousands of hours that would go to waste. There are still millions of unemployed, uneducated, and homeless people in the U.S. These outrageous amounts of money can be distributed into sectors that, with more resources, could offer more benefits for U.S. citizens. Some of these include healthcare, social security, natural disaster teams, education, and unemployment. This podcast will explore the option of eliminating 50% of the military budget and distributing it to the sectors that could positively impact American society. What positive outcomes that would have, and on the other hand, what side effects would emerge after that large cut to the military budget. Also, most people don't deeply think about how we, as in the Earth's population, can spend trillions of dollars and thousands of hours on destroying or killing off others. That itself is devastating. But even worse is what all that time and money is not going to. In 2017, the U.S. left over 28 million citizens, or 8.8%, without access to health care insurance. If the U.S. gave 50% of the military budget to the health sector, they could potentially provide a good quality public health insurance to ensure that everyone in the country can have access to inexpensive health care. This would be beneficial because after covering 100% of the population with health insurance, you can improve that service. And after having put a system in place, people will not have to pay thousands of dollars for a simple operation or hundreds to receive basic treatment. Some of these systems are used in European countries such as Spain. They have very high taxes, but as a result, all medical service is completely free, making it more accessible for those low-class citizens. X-rays, operations, treatments, and all your minor injuries are accessible for people who can't afford to spend a fortune on their health care. It is crucial to analyze the budget calculations carefully. Imagine the nation put 50% cut to the military budget, making it drop from $725.9 billion to $326.95 billion. That $326.95 billion would be added to the $59.5 billion that the medical sector already receives in their slim 5% fraction of the federal budget, leaving the sum almost 5.5 times than what the medical budget had before. 386 is now the new medical budget in this situation. Theoretically, in this situation, the U.S. could have 5 times more hospitals, 5 times better facilities, offer 5 times better service, and facilitate access to medical service for that 8.8% of the population that lacks in health insurance. A recent study by the ACS, American Community Service, reveals that the most affected states in terms of lacking health coverage are Texas and Alaska. Both have over 14% of their population lacking in health coverage. Additionally, Florida and Georgia have 12% of their community lacking health insurance. Some would argue that 8.8% without health insurance is pretty good for a nation so big. That means your odds of not having access or not being able to afford insurance are 88 in 1,000. On the other hand, that 8.8% of the population would contradict that argument, saying that a nation with so much annual tax income and external revenue should be able to provide better than 91.2%. Considering the U.S. has the largest GDP, gross domestic product, in the world, after China, they should be able to deliver more in terms of medical service. Other benefits of health insurance are that most people can barely afford a complex surgery or treatment. In some cases, it can buy you a luxury car instead. A study by the American Journal of Public Health suggested that since people without health insurance can't consistently visit a skilled specialist, they have an estimated 40% risk of death in any given year of their lives than the portion who do have health coverage. The same study also estimated that 45,000 deaths in 2005 were associated with inconsistent medical visits. This shows that a little lack of resources in the medical sector can lead to higher risk of death for a fraction of your population and 45,000 annual deaths that are associated with inconsistent visits caused by people who cannot afford the insurance. Another sector, similar to the medical sector, is the DMAT. DMAT standing for Disaster Medical Assistant Teams. If these teams were given more resources to work with, they could develop better detection systems for hurricanes and tornadoes, have better evacuation technologies and tactics, and as a result, save thousands of lives, as well as substantial amounts of money. The United States has seen some of the deadliest storms Mother Nature has ever produced, which include the Great October Storm, causing an estimated 1,400 casualties, also the Gavelson Hurricane, with a stunning 8,000 to 12,000 deaths. These colossal numbers may have an origin in the lack of resources in terms of natural disaster protection and relief teams. These teams could build and provide houses in commonly hit areas with some sort of protection method against disasters, to avoid the thousands of survivors who are left homeless, who have only a pile of rubble to go home to. Then, the ones who have lost everything but their lives find themselves looting houses for food, money, and gasoline, making even more money be lost, as well as cities not being properly equipped to survive these disasters. Also, the aftermath of these disasters can leave thriving cities struggling to maintain a stable economy, as well as the amount of time that is having to be put in caused by the lack of resources. It's lots of time that could be used to hire more people and reduce unemployment. Plus, modern science claims time is money, so that's even more money being lost by not investing the necessary amount in protection against these events of massive physical damage. These disasters are inevitable and unpredictable, but protection is a key area for investing money. Hurricanes tear up and blow away substantial amounts of money. And when these disasters happen various times a year, it's a big loss for the economy. National disaster prevention teams are similar to military forces, in terms of success being measured in units of lives. Military success is measured by the number of enemies that can be eliminated, while on the other hand, natural disaster relief is measured in the number of lives saved or rescued. This, for most people, is conceived as a better outcome for substantial investments. These teams are called National Disaster Medical System. There are 80 of those 55 more advanced teams called DMATs, Disaster Medical Assistant Teams, who are professionals in rapid on-the-go medical procedures. The teams normally consist of 120 to 150 medics, including physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, paramedics, nurses, emergency medical technicians, respiratory therapists, and much more. DMAT teams used to travel with enough resources to set up a mobile camp, self-sustainable for 72 hours, and able to treat 250 patients a day in an isolated disaster area. Yet then, in 2011, the ASPR, Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, diminished their resources to save money so that they could no longer attend so many patients. The DMAT teams have been called to very tragic and historic disasters, such as the 9/11 terrorist attack, in which they helped all survivors on floor zero evacuate from the building, or Hurricane Katrina, in which DMAT teams were called in to help evacuate and treat the affected population of New Orleans. Other cases include key support in 2010 to the Haiti earthquake, in which 12 DMAT teams, who were able to attend 31,300 patients, as well as performing 167 surgeries and delivering 45 infants. These are some of the many reasons why the disaster medical teams are so important in a country that has seen some of the worst tragedies in history. The U.S. has an unemployment rate of 4%, meaning that over 13 million people are unemployed in a nation with a colossal GDP and annual income. If the U.S. were to invest in getting these people employed, it would benefit the nation back because they could unleash the full potential of their economy and maximize their efficiency at the time of producing goods and getting them exported overseas. Increasing the efficiency of this process would lead to greater annual revenue that could then be used to pay back all of the investments made, and the following year the federal budget will be theoretically a little bit greater. Once the 4% is employed, they could pay a 20% tax, being paid a very humble $20,000 annually. This investment would result in a minimum of $52 billion. The government could even increase the tax and make more money. This is an investment that, if successful, could have direct effects on the sectors already mentioned in this essay, sectors that would put an extra $50 billion to a good use. Another positive aspect of investing in unemployment is that once 13 million people have jobs, it will produce nothing but extra revenue in the following years. To conclude, the U.S. is spending way too much money and time on the military, while they could be making the nation a more convenient place to live in for those less fortunate. While the U.S. is already a very economically successful nation, they have enough GDP and income to maximize its potential in terms of unemployment, medical care, and insurance, as well as GDP growth. Since cutting the military budget can affect crucial sectors of the U.S., it is relevant for the government to give this option some thought. The U.S. is said to be the biggest threat to world peace, and because of that, it is important to analyze all the options the nation currently has. The option this essay looked at is the most beneficial for those less fortunate. Sadly, those people are cared the least about. And for that reason, the government should take action and try to shape a country that has benefits for all, not only the rich.